Ken Kimball's going to tell us how to do it on a low budget now.
Well, I was going to bring a pitchfork because I'm sitting here between two lawyers, and I'm trained in the sciences, not in the law. But I do want to try to convince some of you that this is actually a process where you can participate, not having to have a lawyer, but you do need to really be prepared and to try to determine how the process works. I think Jason has given you a very good sort of overview of the process, but it is doable to participate. But let me go through a little bit of our history. AMC has participated in a number of adjudicatory processes, both in the state of Maine as well as in front of the SEC. I do want to clarify that adjudicatory processes are daunting, they can be very expensive, and they can be very time-consuming. There's no question about that. They're not like the EIS process that you're going through right now with the Department of Energy. Here in the DOE process, you get to sit down on your weekend or your night. You can fill in your comments, and then you can ship them off. The SEC process requires you to be there in person for much of it, to be ready to present your evidence, and also to be ready to be cross-examined yourself on the positions that you put forth. It is a court-like situation. But I also want to let you know that you shouldn't be afraid of that either. I've been up there a number of times. It's not my training. I've watched a number of citizens groups get up and do it. They study the process. They can be very effective, and they have changed the differences in the kinds of results that came through. So it is a process that does not require a lawyer. It is a process where you may elect to be your own expert witness instead of putting thousands of dollars into consultants, though at times it may make sense to have a lawyer, and it may make sense to have expert witnesses out there. And in the latter situations, you can combine your resources with towns and so forth. But let me also touch on a couple things, because, you know, legal fees can easily be $50,000, $60,000 to $100,000. I want to be honest. Those are not unusual numbers that I've seen, even as we've watched other groups participate out there. So it is a David and Goliath scenario, and your job when you participate, because as I look out here, I think I'm mostly looking at smaller towns, not the bigger towns from the south where their resource base might be different than yours. But you may want to think in terms of budgeting some money in advance if you are going to participate in this process. And I can't give you a number there, but to start with zero may not be the smartest way either. And I recognize that towns have to get those monies allocated through your town meetings, usually in March and so on and so forth. I come from a small town, so I'm very familiar with those types of things. The other thing you want to do if you're going to engage in this David and Goliath battle, and I don't think there's any question when you participate in a contest with Northern Pass, as we all know, their construction budget, project budget is well over $1 billion. That's a huge sum of money. They are going to be the Goliath in the game. You're going to be the David. You're going to need to find a slingshot, and then you're going to need to shoot your stones very accurately. But when you do that, you can actually come out of this victorious or make major changes in the outcome. And as I say, I think I've seen it a number of times already in front of even the SEC. And, you know, many groups look at, like, the AMC or the CLF and other environmental groups and think, we have infinite resources to jump into these games, and the answer is, no, we don't. AMC gets involved in a number of issues from Washington, D.C. to Maine. There's no way that we could afford to jump in these and just hire a lawyer and sort of go through these, which is the reasons why we have to approach it very similar to the way a small town would have to approach it, is how to be strategic. Are there any fees to participate in this? The answer is no. To file an intervention doesn't cost you anything except your time and your intelligence. That's the big cost. And I also would want to point out that when you file an intervention, there's been a number of cases before the SEC already. So there's a lot of templates to look look at. You don't have to start from scratch. You can draw from those. They may not be your arguments, but at least you can understand what the shape and feel of an intervention should look like. But I would highly, highly encourage you to intervene, because you can intervene at different levels. But if you don't intervene and later on you want to ask questions or get really engaged in the process, you can't if you don't intervene. So intervene. You can always step out of the process, but as the process gets going, if you don't intervene during the deadlines, then you're basically outside of the game. And I also want to point out, and I think Jason went through this, is there are going to be public meetings out there where you can go, you can wear your orange, you can get groups to come up and say pretty much anything they want, shooting from the heart. But in the adjudicatory process, it is a very focused process. And you will have both of those processes in front of the SEC. But remember, once you get in front of the SEC, you're restricted to the questions that the SEC has to look at when they're going to make a decision. For many of you who have sat on a planning board or a zoning board of adjustment, you know your final decisions are based on the laws in front of you. If a big entity comes in and proposes a development in front of your town and your zoning laws don't cover it, but everybody's against it, you obviously have a serious problem in saying no to it. The SEC has those same kinds of boundaries when they're going to make their decisions. So as you craft your arguments and you move forward, ask yourself the same kind of questions a developer would ask before they come in front of your planning board, and that is, what are the rules for which the deciding body is going to have to make its decisions on? Because it's critical that you stay focused in on those questions that they have to deal with when they're going to answer their decisions out there. The other reason, the other thing I want to point out is one of the advantages of intervening is you will be getting all of the notices of the meetings, you will get all the filings, and conversely, you will be responsible every time you do a filing and so forth to send it to all of the other intervening parties out there. But in this day of electronics, I can remember a number of years back, you had to go down, you know, make X number of copies and mail them off, and it was a very expensive proposition. Today, you can do a lot of that electronically, and so it's much cheaper and it's much simpler to do, and it's something that you shouldn't be fearful about as you jump into it. Do want to point out that there's also ex parte rules out there. You can talk to the SEC about procedural questions, but you cannot ask them about substantive questions. You can ask other parties substantive questions outside of the process, within the process, but the SEC, you can only ask them questions that are about process, like when is something going to happen, so on and so forth. And if you step over those boundaries, you're going to be in a problematic area. So just understand that they have those guide rules to function under. The other thing I want to point out is, and Jason went through this, is the application comes in, and then the SEC and the agencies have a finite period of time to make a decision about whether the application is complete or not. There's an interesting lesson that was learned in the Wild Meadows project, and I think it's going to be a very, very big challenge for Northern Pass, is that the applicant has to demonstrate that it has complete ownership over its whole pathway. The DOE does not necessarily have to make that decision, but the SEC does, and that is part of the reasons why Wild Meadows got pulled back. The application was deemed incomplete because they could not demonstrate complete ownership of their whole project and transmission line. As you know, and we're all still trying to figure out what is Northern Pass's final application going to look like, but there are questions that are already coming up in some of the towns out here in burial and so forth, like road right-of-ways is an interesting thing. Many towns think that they own the land underneath the road. In many cases, the towns have right-of-ways on those roads, but they don't actually own the land underneath. The abutting landowner does. In other cases, they do. Northern Pass is going to have to be able to figure out and demonstrate that they have complete ownership of the whole project before the SEC, in theory, can accept that application as ready to go. The interesting thing about this is that's not a process for the public. That's a process for the SEC and the agencies to determine. However, and during that determination process, at least based on the Wild Meadows case, it wasn't fully clear whether the public could even raise those issues, but raise them they did. And the SEC obviously took note of those, and that became part of their decision-making process as that one moved forward. So in theory, it's questionable whether you can file during the application, the deciding process, whether the application is complete or not, but it doesn't mean that you can't file it, and they may object to it, but you've also put on record, though, what you think may be the case out there. And those are legitimate steps that a lot of entities will do. And in those cases, that was brought forth more by a citizens group than it was by any other group out there. And I know we have a lot of time, and I know Christoph is going to go back through some of the nuts and bolts out there. The other thing I would suggest as you move forward, and Jason went through the basic categories that the SEC is going to make its decisions on, but don't file stuff about stuff that you don't know about. Because if you file those, you are subject to cross-examination, and your credibility up there and the credibility of your position can be at risk. I highly recommend, even though there may be a full suite of things and you may see a lot of people discussing stuff that may be somewhat esoteric and you think it's a winner, but if you don't know anything about it, you may be best to step back and stay away from it. AMC, when we jump into these or when we initiate in these, we don't try to take on every issue. We don't have competence in determining whether an entity like Northern Pass has the financial capability to carry out that project. Others do. We let them take that on. And where you have finite resources, you'd be much better to target those things where you really have true standing, you have true expertise in, and make those cases. Others will probably make cases on other stuff out there. And I will just try to wrap this up because I know we want to leave plenty of time, and I know that Christoph is going to go through some more of the other nuts and bolts pieces out there. But as you pick the issues that you're going to move forward with, make very clear cases about why you think it's correct. You may act as your own expert witness, such as a town. You may bring in some of your real estate folks or something like this to demonstrate that, you know, you think you have a legitimate case and why it may detract from your real estate values out there. That may be an area that you would want to focus in on, that you have expertise in and you could bring an expert in on. So I think, you know, target where your resources are going. If you have finite resources out there, target the questions. And then in the process itself, be prepared that the SEC, and I'm not quite sure how they're going to handle this case because they do have timelines to make decisions. The SEC can decide to consolidate various parties if they have very similar interest out there. But if you decide that's not in your best interest, and let me give you a theoretical example. If the SEC determined that they wanted to consolidate all of the towns, which would include like Easton and Franklin and so on and so forth, it would be easy to make a case that that was not appropriate because Easton's interest in the project could be quite different than, say, the town of Franklin, who may actually be for the project. But you may find that consolidation of some of your smaller towns who all have the same interest would allow you to expand your resources that you have because you are going to need people to be down there to sit through those meetings and so on and so forth. And the last sort of nugget I'd give you from just based on our experience out here is even if you don't file expert witnesses, by intervening, you still have the ability to cross-examine the materials that they present. So even though you may not be an expert in a lot of areas and carry an interest in a lot of areas, it does not prevent your ability to actually question the data that has been brought forth. So with that, I will just stop, and I will let Christoph.
Thank you, Ken.